Get him on right now. A lot of you who are regular listeners to the Chad Hastie program know Matt. Of course, he's a GOP strategist and a co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, and we want to get him on the program this morning. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing, sir? Hello.
I'm here. Can you not hear me?
There you are. Good morning. How are you doing, Matt?
Good morning.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I want to apologize for getting you on late this morning. I hope that you can hold over a little bit this morning. I know it's been a kind of busy morning around here, and we just had State Representative John Frullo in this morning, and some of the calls ran a little bit long, and we apologize for that. Thank you for your patience this morning. Let me ask you a question. If my friend Tom Pawkin had $5 million to spend, do you think that we might could have a rather spirited race for the GOP nomination for the governorship?
I think what would be different in that type of circumstance would be that Greg Abbott, our Attorney General, would probably be forced to engage directly with Pawkin. You know, and right now, he's not forced to do that. You know, Attorney General Abbott is focused on raising money and focused on Wendy Davis and focused on the general election. And he has that luxury right now because Pawkin is not a real threat. Pawkin may be effective with the grassroots. He may be winning some support here and there. He may be making good arguments. But at the end of the day, if you don't have the resources, you're not going to be a real threat. And with Abbott having, you know, at this point, $25 or $30 million, it would take at least that much money, I think, for Pawkin to be to sort of force Abbott in, not just to debate, which I think is unlikely, but even to engage with him directly.
Well, it's an interesting point. How do you see the possibility of a race between Wendy Davis and Greg Abbott? Give us your thoughts on that scenario, and it appears that very well may be what comes to pass.
Yeah, yesterday we saw the Davis campaign announced the hiring of their campaign manager, a national operative who managed the successful U.S. Senate campaign of Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin.
That was the openly gay candidate, right?
She was an openly gay candidate for U.S. Senate, that's right. You know, what's interesting here is that both of these candidates, I think, are unproven at the very, very, very high level. I mean, with Abbott, he's always been down ballot. He's not had a real challenge. In the past, I think he's never won less than 62% of the vote. But this is really his chance to sort of break away from the Rick Perry shadow and create his own, not just identity, but his own sort of leadership role for the state Republican Party. And so it's a great opportunity for him at a time where Texas is succeeding in a lot of ways, particularly in terms of the economy. Wendy Davis, look, no one knows what kind of candidate she's going to be statewide. Because running for state senate, running for governor are totally different things. There are 31 state senate districts in Texas. There are 20 media markets in Texas. So every day she needs to be in a different media market, raising her name ID and getting her message out there. But meanwhile, she also needs to be raising money aggressively. And to do that, she's going to have to go outside of Texas. You've already seen her go to New York and go to Washington, D.C. to raise money. And so that is really the challenge, is that she needs to be in Texas meeting voters, but she also needs to be raising money, and she's going to have to rely on doing that outside the state. Ultimately, I don't see how she wins more than 45 or 46% of the vote. Even that would be an improvement. The highest the Democrats gotten in the Rick Perry era for governor is 42%. But the numbers just aren't there for a Democrat in Texas at this time.
Matt, does a man running against a woman in the state of Texas have to be very, very careful? Because, you know, they say chivalry is not dead in Texas. Any thoughts on that? It's one thing to run against another guy. It's one thing to run against a lady. How do you see that? Do you think that all gloves come off in political campaigns, regardless of the sex of those involved?
Yeah, it's always a delicate balancing act. And for a lot of people in Texas, they remember the Clady Williams and Richard Tracy in 1986. And, you know, that was a different time. Yeah, Clady was a different candidate. I obviously don't think you're going to see that kind of scenario. But what's interesting is you've had some unfortunate comments made about Wendy, but you've also had at least one unfortunate reference to Greg Abbott's being paralyzed. So in both circumstances, there's some delicate issues related there, and so anytime you're a woman opponent, you want to be particularly careful not to upset other women. You don't appear anti-woman or not sort of mean-spirited or rude. And men can sort of attack men savagely. You're seeing that right now in the Virginia governor's race. And while it might turn off some people, it doesn't turn off, half of the voting population. So you do have to be careful. And I think you're going to see Abbott Breckley and his campaign keep this completely on a policy level, because at the end of the day, Wendy Davis is too liberal for Texas. Mark Jones, who's a professor at Rice University, did a study of the entire state Senate and found that she had the fourth most liberal voting record. You're not going to see someone that liberal get elected governor of Texas at this stage or anytime soon. And I think that there's enough to go after her in terms of policy and in terms of her views that are going to be more than enough for Abbott to ultimately win this race next year.
Let's talk about some of the other races. Let's talk about Jerry Patterson. He appears to be, at least, and I don't observe politics as closely as I once did. I served 4 years on the Lubbock City Council here, but I'm not what you'd call your typical political junkie, but it appears to me that Patterson is probably going to win this race. What do you think?
That's interesting you say that. I've not heard many folks say that, but what's interesting is in the four-way race for lieutenant governor, there's only two spots in the runoff, but all four candidates think they have a spot in the runoff. I think thinks that based on his record, based on his financial strength, based on his name ID, on the runoff. State Senator Dan Patrick, who my fiance works for, has been a strong conservative in the state Senate, strongest conservative voting record. He thinks by virtue of that, his grassroots support and being from Houston and having strong name ID there, that he's in the runoff. Texas Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples surprised folks by raising $3 million by the end of June, has a strong base in East Texas, has an ag base, is also a conservative, thinks he's in the runoff. And then you look at Patterson, and Patterson's probably the least well-known of all the candidates, but he also is the author of the concealed carry bill in Texas. He's a very strong conservative. He thinks the Second Amendment support alone is going to get him in the runoff. So you have a situation here where there's only two tickets to finals, and everybody thinks they have one. So there are two disappointed candidates on March 4th for lieutenant governor. I don't think we know who's going to be disappointed right now at this point. A lot of it is going to depend on fundraising, and some of the same challenges you're seeing for Tom Pockin, although much less so the case, are you're also seeing for Jerry Patterson. I think he had about $1 million as of June 30th. I believe Patrick had $2 million, Staples had $3 million, and I think Dewhurst had $2.5 million. But it's going to be interesting to see over the next 6 months what kind of fundraising both Patrick, Staples, and Patterson are able to get, because ultimately it costs about $2 million, or excuse me, about $1.5 million to be running a TV ad at saturation level statewide in Texas. It's an enormous amount of money. If you want to be on the air, the last, 4 or 6 weeks of the race, you're going to need, $3.5, $4, $5 million just to be on the air statewide. Look at Dan Patrick, for example. He's on the air now and statewide on Fox News. Now that's not $1.5 million. That's just Fox News. But if you talk about Republican primary voters, that's where they are. They're watching Fox News primarily. So he's been on the air for a month already, and I believe intends to stay on the air for the rest of the campaign. Right. And that's going to be something that'll be a real strength for him.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Matt Mikowiak in just a moment. You're listening to the Chad Hastie program. I'm Paul R. Bean, and we'll be back with Mr. Mikowiak right after this break. Back on the Chad Hastie program, I'm Paul Bean, and on the line with us is GOP strategist Matt Mikowiak. And Matt, appreciate you holding on through that break, and we've got about a minute left on this particular segment. But coming up, if we can beg you to hold over till after the 10 o'clock news break, I want to talk to you about what you think is the possibility of the Republican Party in Texas being fractured along the lines that it appears that our national Republican Party seems to be struggling with.
Sure.
And I want to get your thoughts on that. I think that's going to prove interesting, especially if Wendy Davis starts getting some momentum, you know, to be elected governor. And you know, I look back to when you mentioned, you know, the Midland oil man who really stepped in it, you know, with a, you know, I mean, he just had the governorship won and then turned around and lost it. And then I want to talk to you about the strategy that George Bush used when he ran against Ann Richardson. And those are just some of the things I want to talk to you about coming up after the 10 o'clock break, okay?
Sounds good.
Appreciate it, Matt, very much. This is the Chad Hastie Program. I'm Paul R. Bean, and we'll be back right after. Welcome back, everybody, to the final hour of the Chad Hastie Program. Matt Mikowiak has agreed to stay over for just a couple of minutes here into the final hour of the Monday edition of the Chad Hastie Program. Matt, do you see the Texas Republican Party as fractured as our national group? How do you see that? Because I hear of an awful lot of complaints about out in this particular area about Senator John Cornyn, and I've heard him labeled a rhino. I've heard him labeled, you know, a liberal. Do you think that's going to play into the primary elections and the general elections coming next fall? We got him. Oh, you talk. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Well, we'll have Matt on here in just a moment, but because we got back a little bit early, and we'll have him on here in just a moment. I'll have to remember the question I asked him. That's going to be the real problem. Okay, we got Matt on. Good, Matt. Good morning, and thanks for sticking over this morning into the. The second and final hour of the Chad Hastie Program. I want to ask you, do you see the Texas Republican Party as fractured as the National Republican Party appears to be? Okay. We got Matt now?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
Matt.
Here.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to get this question in sooner or later.
Okay.
Matt, I appreciate you staying over this morning a few minutes. Do you see the Texas Republican Party being as fractured as the National Party?
I don't. And, you know, you got to remember, Texas is more conservative than the country at large. And so, you know, we see these national stories with national polls. I don't think they mean very much in Texas. Ted Cruz won by 10 points. Even Mitt Romney, who was a weak candidate, won in Texas by 10 points. And so, you know, the biggest, you know, sort of thing I point to that I think demonstrates what I'm talking about is when Ted Cruz was engaged in his filibuster on the Defund Obamacare effort just a few weeks ago, pretty much every single statewide candidate in Texas supported it and did so publicly. Meanwhile, we were talking about Wendy Davis earlier. You know, when she announced for governor, she didn't say the word Democrat, and she's running. There's already been a couple stories out there about how she's trying to run almost as an independent. And so I think, again, that's just me evidence that Republicans are running as conservatives and Democrats are trying to run as moderates. And so I don't think you're going to see that sort of intramural battle in the Republican Party in Texas, at least not anytime soon.
Do you see the general mainstream media in Texas becoming a little bit more liberal where they fail to expose the liberal Democrats trying to run as moderates? Is that an issue?
A little bit, sure. You know, I do think that, you know, there was a sense of hero worship for Wendy Davis and a sense of ridicule for Ted Cruz. When you think about it, they both did filibusters about, you know, passionate issues they felt passionate about. I mean, if one's heroic, they both are heroic, right? So, you know, part of that was more of maybe national media bias than a Texas media bias. But look, I think if you just pay attention to the major newspapers in Texas, you consistently see their coverage of Rick Perry and Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott being very combative, and there's virtually no investigation or real examination of Democratic views. And so, you know, I think that's a frustration. That's something I think you have to learn to live with as a Republican. You're going to have to work against the media, and we always do, and we always will.
Right. I know you've got a 10:30 meeting coming up, and I really appreciate you staying over. Anything else, any point you'd like to make, anything you've observed in the past 48, 72 hours you'd like to comment about before we leave you?
Well, I mean, you said you wanted to try to talk about the Dan Richards situation. We may not have
Well, yes, I did, but yeah. I didn't want to cut into your time very much.
Sure.
But anyway.
Just one quick thought. I mean, I think that George W., when he ran in 1990, number one, Ann Richards didn't take him seriously. And I think, you know, but you could fall into that trap here, too, if Republicans don't take Battleground Texas and the Democratic effort seriously. So while I don't think they can win, I do think they can be competitive, and so we do need to take them seriously. One of the other things that George W.'s campaign did very successfully is they had three or four major points, and they just stuck them for the whole year, really. And so I think that that's part of what we need to see from Abbott is what is his message going to be? What agenda does he want to run on? Can he make it simple enough that voters understand what it is? And if he can do that and he can continue to position Wendy Davis as a liberal, I think he'll be in good shape.
GOP strategist Matt Mikowiak this morning here on the Chad Hastie Show. Matt, thanks very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Take care.
Appreciate it.